This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
So is the Ryder Cup fast approaching this month in golf, returning to U.S. soil for play the end of the month at Hazeltine in Minnesota. A year from now, it's a U.S. turf for Team USA, the 46th Amateur Walker Cup competition, returning to the West Coast for the first time in 36 years, the North Course at the Los Angeles Country Club, and returning as captain, former Walker Cupper, two-time U.S. mid-am champ, Bloomington golf legend, Monroe County Sports Hall of Famer Spider Miller, returning to captain the Team USA. It was 2 years ago. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. The U.S. lost to the Euros, Great Britain and Ireland, who used the home course at Royal Lytham St. Anne's to its advantage. But now, and in a year's time, the hopeful reverse will occur as Spider and our country's most talented collegiate and mid-am players converge in Los Angeles to bring the U.S. its 36th annual win in the series. Tonight, the North Vernon native, the IU alum, joins us as the road to Los Angeles already being paved red, white, and blue. U.S. Walker Cup captain Spider Miller sinking that tee in the ground with us tonight. A little bit later, IU women's field hockey coach Amanda Janney and 2015 All-American defender and midfielder out of St. Louis, Missouri, senior Kate Barber will join in the conversation after a 1-2 start to 2016. Well, the Hoosier women are getting dialed in now with three wins in a row, building momentum for the start of Big Ten play at Maryland on Saturday. Amateur golf at its highest level, IU women's field hockey are agenda items of note tonight as we welcome you to Sports Talk. We're live, as always, from Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, along with our producers, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanne and Mike Glasscott, all of our sponsors. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith and Spider. Thanks for dropping in. You know, we started a conversation ahead of the 2015 competition a year in advance or so, and it's going to be a year to this day that you'll be teeing it up against GBI, the Euros coming over to our turf. But first of all, great seeing you, my friend, and I know you're looking forward, and things are well into work for 2017.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. It's great to be here with you and always be here at Yogi's with all my friends and, of course, my good customers here at Yogi's.
So oh, I tell you what.
It's a lot of fun for me.
Well, I bet it is. You having a good summer?
I am.
What's left of it?
Yeah, it's about over. In fact, the reason I was running a tad bit late is that I actually played golf today, and my buddy and I went down to the last hole, and he's trying to get even.
That wasn't happened to be Jim Carl, was it?
No, it wasn't Jim. I have to get him out there. He is taking a little sabbatical on me, but he's ready to come back full force.
Yeah,
I can see it right now.
Yeah, he said he wanted a piece of you, so, you know, I was just wondering. Hey, I know things are in well underway for the 2017 competition and how you're going to go about it, but revisiting it, we mentioned right at the top, tough course, but the Euros, you know, they were red hot during the competition. But what do you remember? Who did you maybe talk to for advice after, you know, things didn't go U.S. of A's way in looking forward to 2017?
Well, you know, in golf, like every week in every tournament, players and player who plays the best wins. And in our case, my boys played fine, but unfortunately it wasn't good enough. GB and I played very well, and quite frankly, they just outplayed us. If we had trouble, it was with the speed of the greens. As you know, they're not quite as fast as we're accustomed to over here. But nevertheless, it was that way for everyone, and we were soundly beaten. So I'm hoping to turn that table for this year, and I expect that we'll have different course conditions. We're playing in Los Angeles, and the weather should be superb.
No rain, temperature in September out in L.A.?
Local
80s, something
local
like that?
Local boys told me they could give me the weather forecast right now for a year from now.
Hey, I want to quote Diana Murphy, who is the USGA Vice President and Championship Committee Chairman, when they wanted you back. She said, "The USGA believes that Spider's leadership, innate understanding of the values of the competition, and his good-natured spirit are critical to the same experience he can provide for the team in 2017. And we're also excited to bring the Walker Cup to the George Thomas-designed Los Angeles Country Club for the first time since 1981. That's got to make you feel awfully, awfully proud because, you know, we had talked, Spider, about developing relationships, and that's what it's all about. But that's really got to make you feel good.
You know, my players last time in the true spirit of the game, they conducted themselves and represented the country and as well as could be done. They did everything that I asked of them. They were all very gracious, and they tried hard, they played hard, and several have gone on to success. I think you may know that Bryson DeChambeau just won the Web.com first playoff series tournament, so he will be that'll be enough to get him into the tour next year. And Denny McCarthy is right there, and there'll be several others that will be in the Web.com tour school. Mm-hmm. That's about ready to start first stage. So they're moving on. My mid-amateur, Scott Harvey, I just looked on my way over here. He won two matches today. So Scott is playing well. And there's a group of a good, solid 10 to 12 other players and some that I may not know about that are working hard to get one of those mid-amateur spots. So it's going to be a lot of competition from this point,
you know,
up to next year.
Like you always told me, it's how you act over how you play.
Absolutely.
That is the big factor into the equation. But I wanted to ask you, what's different, really, if there is a different, Spider, in your process, if you will, of selecting and evaluating players for this 2017 team in a year's time?
Well, you may not know the selection. Our selection committee is in fact a committee of which I am not a member, a voting member.
Okay.
I attend meetings and I get to say my piece, and as far as the vote goes, I don't have one. And it's a good system. It works well. We've generally had the players who I wanted, and it works good. So we're just now getting into what I call the final furlong.
Okay.
We round the final turn, yeah. and this year and next year, and certainly next year's U.S. Amateur will be critical to team selection. So it'll be played at Riviera about 4 weeks prior to the Walker Cup. So whether we announce any or some players prior to that, I don't know. It's possible we could wait and announce the entire team after next year's U.S. Amateur.
You know, you talk about that committee, and now since it's back on U.S. soil and out of the West Coast, does the layout at all at the North Course there at the Country Club of Los Angeles have any effect, or do they look into that as far as maybe sizing up possible candidates with what is out in front of them course-wise?
Well, the last team and this team, too, the West Coast has a lot of really good amateur players, and they haven't last two teams, and there are a number of really good West Coast players vying to make this next team. So it helps. A lot of them live in the Los Angeles area, and a number of them have played there. In fact, probably most all of them will have played there. And we're getting ready to, in December, in about a month from now, we will announce a 12-team practice squad. And the club has been so gracious to allow us to bring that squad out to LACC. So that's something we didn't get to do ever before. Our other kids were playing over there had never seen the golf course until we got there.
Well, that's a great check plus there in terms of the USA and its preparation. You know, I asked you this, you know, last year, and things changed, or 2 years ago, but, you know, things change. Do you get a feel that kids, you know, see this event still as so very important, or is turning pro after the NCAA's more tempting? Just in the 2 years that you served first time around as captain.
It all depends on the kid. We had two kids last time who opted not to be in the pool to be selected, and both of them ended up at the same spot as the kids who who stayed and played. So it's really up to the individual. You know, I know the agents get in there and they get in their heads, and a lot of it's up to the parents. And you run into all kinds. Some parents are
let's go get it now while the getting's good, or what?
But then you have the other side of that. You have a lot of responsible parents who want their kids to graduate and be eligible for the team in their senior year. And I would say there are more of those parents than there are the ones that are encouraging them to turn pro at age 18, 19, or 20.
You know, and I don't know if it's happened. I mean, you'd be the man to know, but is there any angle of maybe taking college teammates? Has that ever happened? Or?
Well, yes. Matter of fact, Jimmy Holtgreave's team, which was the team before mine that played at the National in New York, their team had three players from Alabama and three from California. So the six of the ten. And then, interesting, the GB and I team had one player who was also on Alabama. So Alabama coach Jay had four players on it.
Well, we're just getting started with Spider Miller, the 46th, the 2017 Walker Cup coming up a year from today. Los Angeles Country Club, the North Course, for the first time being on the West Coast in 36 years. And we'll be back to take more comments from Spider and, get some insight as to what's going on here in this great game of amateur golf. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. About 21 past the hour. Upcoming a little bit later tonight, IU Women's Field Hockey Head Coach Amanda Janney and All-American Kate Barber joining in the conversation. We're talking conversation right now ahead of the a year ahead, 2017 Walker Cup competition, and joined by Spider Miller, the Bloomington golfing legend. And, you know, Spider, we look at, selection and what have you, but what's the most important factor, or is it something all-inclusive, driving, putting, irons, if there is one in this particular format that you guys play over the 2 days?
No, I wouldn't say you necessarily look for anything other than their past performance is what dictates whether they make the team. All of my college kids will be familiar with team golf, but not so much the what we call the alternate shot or the foursomes play, where it's true alternate shot. You know, you and I are partners. You drive, you hit the drives off the even, I hit them off the odd, and you switch. And that's a format that we never play. And over there, they play that as kids, and they have competitions with that format. And we just don't. We don't do it. And there's several. I have a thought of what I'm going to try and do. This time I'm going to try and get the kids to think more about their playing as an individual rather than caucusing after each shot. I'm going to have them go to the ball by themselves, which is what they're used to. You know, we're geared for playing our own ball and not necessarily worrying about the other guy.
We'll
see how it goes, and I'll try a couple formats and get the feedback from the players and see how they like it, and we'll go from there.
Well, you know, and you just in part answered, you know, what I was going to get into here, and that's, you know, the fact that did you learn anything from, you know, how the Euros went about winning the last time you played that you can employ in addition to what you just mentioned?
You know, they love foursomes play, and that's a big part of our competition. We play two matches of foursomes play, and typically if you're ahead in the foursomes, you typically over time it's proven that you go ahead and win. So I'm hoping this year that we will emerge ahead in the foursomes play, and singles play has always been our strength. And that's what our kids are, and that's what our players are used to, head-to-head match play.
Sure. Along those lines, what were your thoughts watching golf hit the Olympic circuit this past summer? Well, 4 or 5 weeks ago down in Rio.
No, I think it's great. I think it's great that golf is back in the Olympics. As you know, golf may be slipping nationally in numbers. The number of golf courses that are being closed, and it's kind of sad to me that the participation in the game is not as great as it used to be or it could be. So I'm thrilled, and I think it's great that we have golf back in the Olympics. And then now some of the young kids, the kids that played for me on the last team and have played on other Walker Cup teams, have the opportunity to play in it. They can play in the Palmer Cup, they can play in the Walker Cup, the Ryder Cup, and now the Olympics.
Yeah.
And the President's Cup. So they can represent their country in five competitions. It's pretty cool.
Well, and, you know, last year at this time, we mentioned right at the top, we got the Ryder Cup, that too, returning to U.S. soil up at Hazeltine in Minnesota. How do you think the I'm so tired of the Euros just, taking us to race, so to speak. DL3, Davis Love III, the captain. He's got one more pick left after the Tour Championship. He picked the other day. Kuchar and Fowler and J.B. Holmes. But what about – can the selection process be better? Do you agree with what he's doing? I mean, just looking at it as – a golf fanatic and someone who loves the game truly, and not only from an amateur level, but looking at the pro level.
Well, I think at the pro level, the way they select the team is a good process. It's generated the greatest players in the game, have represented our country. And I think Davis will be a great captain. Yeah. Win, lose, or draw, he's a friend of mine. And I think they were wise to bring him back. And I like the three picks he made. I know Hazeltine, but I haven't played it since we used wooden clubs. So I know it's a monster of a golf course, and J.B. Holmes should be a valuable asset, as will Dustin Johnson. So we'll see who he picks for the last pick.
Yeah, it was built back in 62, par 72, the place, nearly 7,700 yards in length. And, it has been home to the U.S. Open in 1970 and 91 and the PGA Championship in 02. So hopefully things will work out. But talk about the developing the chemistry. You know, it's not easy. I mean, these guys, and we're, again, I don't want to get things mixed up between amateur and professional. Professional got egos, they got endorsements, they got this, they got that. It maybe is tougher to build the chemistry. That is something you really embraced and enjoyed as you put your 2015 team together.
It's much easier for me. My kids haven't been spoiled yet. They haven't. They haven't been entitled yet, necessarily.
Good point.
And, I know it's difficult once they become pros and they have everyone doing everything for them and they have sponsor commitments. And fortunately, that's not something I have to deal with. My kids have all been great. The college coaches for the respective players have all been great. Parents have been fine. I'm lucky. I think that the amateurs and the fact that that our amateur code is such that we play for the love of the game is great, and it works good for me. And I know that when I'm not there, and I know the kids talk, I know they talk about agents, they talk about turning pro, and I get that.
Yeah.
That's no problem. My calls are about sales and things of that nature that
what
are
we're gonna
about
wear?
Making a living. So. It's good. It's all good. And so far, I'd say it's on a good footing.
Will winning college tournaments, enhance the player's profile here? We're getting ready. Coach Mayer started. They played up at Wolf Run last weekend. Indiana just started its fall season. How much golf will you watch? What kind of pulse will you have viewing and keeping track of potential Walker Cuppers?
Yeah, right now what I do is I have a guy that helps me. Ryan Bowen is a volunteer. He's a great great young man in Indianapolis, we've developed a system for rating of ourselves internally, and he works a spreadsheet up for me, and he churns it out every week.
Wow.
So there are always people coming, emerging, and then I start watching them. But I'll really start going to the tournaments probably in February. I'll start with the Jones Cup. I'll roll into the NCAA Regionals and NCAA Finals. Then I'll go to the Northeast Amateur. I'll go to the Southern Amateur, probably the Pac Coast Amateur. I'll probably go to maybe the Transmiss. I'll roll into the Amateur and then follow it up with the Walker Cup. So I'll stay busy next year.
Yeah, you will. And we hope you find time to maybe hop back in here. Your home away from home, and we'll get an update in maybe 6 months or 8 months.
I'm happy to do it, Joe.
After you get it all rolling. You got a good feel about this, coming and giving the Team USA, a big W in this series, because this is the highest level of amateur golf.
It is. It is a pinnacle of the game as an amateur, and then typically once they are on the team, sometimes they'll stay for two times. I'll point out to Maverick McNeely has chosen to remain as an amateur so that he will be available after his senior year to play in next year's tournament. So I'm very proud of Mav and happy to have him in that pool.
Well, as you mentioned, Bryson DeChambeau has been, he wants that PGA card, and he's been in tournaments. He's fared very well watching him play. And you liked him, and you alerted to us in the listening audience Bryson's capabilities, and he is one fine
young man. He's a good young man, and I will tell you, Bo Hostler, who has turned professional, who injured himself in the NCAA Finals, and Bo had to have surgery, and he's out for at least 3 months, maybe four. But I expect that you'll hear a lot about Bo. I'm hoping that, and he expects that he'll be fully recovered. And when he resumes and is able to start his pro career, look out for old Bo Cephas. He's a tough hombre.
All right, we got him down on our list, so we'll see how things transpire. Well, it's September of 2016, and a year from now you'll be on the North Course watching Team USA win for a 36th time in the 46th annual U.S. Walker Cup. We'll get you back in, talk more golf, and as always, fairways and greens, my friend. Thanks for coming in, Spider.
Thank you, Joe. Always
appreciate
a pleasure.
It. Spider Miller joining us, the Team USA captain, 2017 Walker Cup team, competing against the Euros, coming up on the North Course, Los Angeles Country Club, this time a year from now, 2017. Well, when we come back, continuing along, Amanda Janney joining us, along with All-American Kate Barber. They're on a roll right now ahead of the Big Ten. We'll talk field hockey with Coach AJ and Kate. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk, Yogi's Grill and the Sports Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, our home away from home. Amanda Janney's home away from home. We brought her in the very first year she was hired, and now she moves on in her coaching career. She's brought an All-American with her as the field hockey Hoosiers. After a 1-2 start, you're getting dialed in at the right time of year. Welcome to Kate Barber. AJ, great seeing you. So some good stuff happening on the field hockey circuit, huh?
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. Oh. The team's just playing great right now. We're excited we're on a winning streak.
Well, you are indeed, and there have been a lot of factors involved. And this young lady from St. Louis, Missouri, one of them. You know, I can remember talking with Maddie Latino. She kind of was scoring some goals in volumes. And here's Kate. She scored more goals in, six games than she scored all of last year. Talk about her explosiveness.
Kate's just a great example of senior leadership. I think she's so determined to make sure her senior year is a great one, and she's scoring goals both on corners and field goals, and she's so dominant on attack and also on defense, so it's really great to have her in our midfield.
Well, I tell you, you're getting the job done, and you closed out the Buckeye Invitational with a 2-0 win over UC Davis, and you lost a close one to Wake Forest, and of course you opened up with Louisville. That was no joyride, but I'm looking here. at all the games the rest of this fall, and all of the there are about eight teams that have numbers in front of them. And what that means, they're all nationally ranked.
Right. For us, it's a team goal for us to get nationally ranked, and a goal of mine personally that I think this is a team that can be top 20, and we're not going to get there unless we play those top teams. So I think to get some good competition against the ACC and for the Big Ten to do as best we can against the ACC, I think those tests were good for us. And that 2-1 game against Wake Forest was a close one. I think we really had momentum at the end, and we wish that game lasted a little bit longer. So that got us really prepared for the next win on the next day against UC Davis.
Amanda, what do you like about the, we were just talking chemistry with Spider Miller, who's the Team USA captain for the Walker Cup team. And, every team's different, chemistry-wise. When you put this one together, looking at your entire roster, how you feel about it? Talk to me a little about that aspect.
Yeah, I really do believe that team chemistry can carry the team to a lot of wins. And this summer was a great show of our team's dedication to Indiana, that they stayed around the summer. I think 15 of them were here training together, working out together, and I think the seniors really made sure the upper underclassmen knew the culture that we're going to have on our team, and they did a great job to get them ready before preseason. So I think that really helped a strong start.
Well, Amanda Janney, AJ, affectionately known in IU circles, the head coach of the IU women's field hockey Hoosiers, Kate Barber joining us out of St. Louis Mo. Last year, a 2015 All-American. Kate, it's great seeing you, and as Coach was talking about, you obviously have been putting stick to ball and finding the net repeatedly. Talk about your offensive prowess here in the first six games of the year.
Yeah, I think last year, I played more of a defensive role, so I wasn't getting those opportunities as much. But now that I'm playing more in the midfield, and now that we have L back, being able to push up and be in the attacking play has really been beneficial to me. And I think just having my teammates there, too, is just great.
Well, and Coach was talking about the team leadership. You're one of three captains. Talk about that role and how, you right now you're leading by example, but are you a rah-rah? Talk to me a little about the your personality as it maybe is woven into the rest of the crew out there at the field hockey complex.
Yeah, I mean, we're all about having fun, but there's a fine line between having fun and being serious, during practice and in games and stuff. We're a really fun group, and we have a lot of goofy teammates and girls around us, so it's really nice to have that balance.
Well, and we talk about you playing last year, and, Maddie has kind of taken the role that you had last year. I know you always enjoyed setting up whoever's open, and now I see Maddie's the leading assist lady on the team. You and her on the same page, obviously, huh?
Yeah, she's been doing great. Her cuts at the forward line have been really just killing their defense, and her being able to get open and get those passes off is really helping us on our forward line.
Did you have a inkling that you were going to become more of a scorer, or talk about the flexibility of your attack, and is it just the way things have kind of turned out?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of being in the right place at the right time and getting those opportunities for yourself. So I think that my teammates and myself included have set those opportunities up very well for myself, and again for other people to have those opportunities. Like TP this weekend, she had two goals in both games, so it's really nice to see other people getting those goals.
Talking about Taylor Pearson,
yeah,
and she has been a you guys got 13 goals between. Well, you did your part.
Yeah.
You matched her in both those games. How was it, a St. Louis native? You kicked around the ball and the stick when you played in that tough Gateway circuit out there in Missouri. Have a lot of family and friends. How neat was it to not only produce but go back home for a bit?
Yeah, it was awesome. I haven't played there since I started playing in Indiana, so it was nice to be able to go home and play on home turf and in front of the home crowd. And a lot of high schools came out as well, so they've got that experience to see a good college game. Mm-hmm. So really in the Midwest, field hockey is a growing sport.
I was going to ask you, from the time you left when you were a senior in high school to Indiana, how popular has it emerged, the sport of women's field hockey in say that St. Louis area, or the state of Missouri for that matter?
Yeah, it's growing a lot actually. When I was playing club, we started at U14, and now they're opening it up to U12 and even younger. So it's really nice to see the younger girls starting early and really getting acclimated in their early early year so that they're able to make those changes and really just grow with the sport as the rules are changing as well.
You know, we talk about what you accomplished last year as an assist setter-upper, if that is a word, but you did a doggone good job and played defense and midfield, defending, obviously. But winning All-American honors as a junior certainly tells the tale of the tape. But did it put more pressure on you raising the bar now as you got ready for your senior campaign that maybe – you know, they know that Indiana's got an All-American out there. Does that put a target on your chest?
I think for myself, I have really high standards. So getting that award, I'm very humbled to get that award, and I'm very honored. But I wouldn't be able to do it without my teammates. So this season, just we've been working really hard this summer and haven't done anything differently. So hopefully we get the same results.
What's field hockey meant to you? You're an outstanding student athlete, but over these 4 years, has it gone by quickly? Now you're six games into your final year with the best yet to come. Talk to me a little about the ride, so to speak, in field hockey here.
Yeah, it's gone by really quick, a little too fast. I've been playing since I was in fourth grade, so I've been playing 12 years, so starting so young really got me opened up to many opportunities that I've had through the U.S. program and as well as getting college opportunities. So coming here was one of the best decisions I've made in my field hockey career, and I'm very happy to be here.
You know, I noticed a couple of stats, and we're talking with Kate Barber, the 2015 All-American, one of the top stars on Amanda Chaney's IU women's field hockey team. They're off to Maryland Saturday. They got a tough one against Delaware on Sunday. I'm noticing a near 62% shots on goal percentage. That's pretty doggone good. Talk a little about the offensive attack and how it's really kind of suited you.
Yeah, I mean, our forwards work really hard up there. I think we get a little set on our heels a little bit in the beginning of the game, but once we get those shots off, get corners rolling and stuff like that, we really get the momentum in our hands. And once that happens, it's just like floodgates opening. We just kind of all just go together. So it's really nice to see that.
And I noticed that you had five goals. The team had five, dispatching New Hampshire the other day on Patriots Day out at the complex. So do you feel there is a sense now, even after six games, you're getting in a real good offensive flow team-wise ahead of the Big Ten?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Having multiple people score different goals is a really big thing for us as well. Not just one person, you know, coming in, scoring all the goals. We have depth in our bench that we were trusting those people that they have those opportunities as well, and we're trusting them to put those in the back of the net.
I know it's still early on, classes. Well, classes, not a month yet. What's your major?
I'm a community health major.
And where will that take you?
Eventually nursing school.
Oh,
yeah.
Good girl.
That's
excellent. Kate Barber joining us. Amanda, talk to me a little about, and Kate was just bringing up the improved depth, and I noticed just in the second half, your shots on goal, 50-24. It looks like as if the game extends, you get stronger, more opportunities. Talk to me a little about that.
Yeah, we definitely want to be a second half team, and we take a lot of pride in being the smarter team, that we're able to figure things out in the first half, know it's going well for us in the first half, know where to attack the opponent's weaknesses and really take it to them in the second half. So we're glad that the execution, getting goals in the second half, has really been paying off for us.
Well, and Kate was alluding to it, six different women have scored at least one goal, and that many or one more, seven have assists. You do have that. I mean, that's a pretty flexible, you know, stats sometimes do tell the tale of the tape. Looks like you're pretty doggone flexible.
It's a great sign of a good team that you have a lot of different scores. And when other teams scout us, they can't just shut down one player. Well, someone else will step up if they do. And I think a good thing about Kate Barber is she's able to score goals on corner shots, and she's also able to score goals in field play and making plays without the penalty corner. So I think it really gives us depth in our attack, and it's going to be hard to shut us down.
You know, I remember talking to you in your first year, how you embrace that, the corner shot. I mean, you know, I mean, soccer uses it to, and you win and you lose there. And you like to have the upper hand from that aspect, don't you?
Yes, it definitely will keep us in every single game. This weekend, we scored, I think, six different goals. We're off of penalty corners, and four we're in field play, and I think having that variety, we don't need tons of shots. We just need to execute on our corners, and the team made that a team goal this year, and for them to step up this early and execute has been a great sign.
I was so proud of myself that I finally got to pronounce Miss Roeder's name right, your outstanding goalie, and she's still a youngster. Noelle, isn't it?
Noelle, yes.
Noelle Roeder. And how's she doing? Well, obviously, she's doing pretty doggone well.
Yeah, she's doing fantastic. She had a good summer where she's training with the German U21 national team, and so she brought some of that international experience back to us, and she's off to a great start, and really excited about how strong she's playing.
You know, I'm looking at your roster here, and Amanda Janney joining us, along with her All-American midfielder and defender, Kate Barber, out of St. Louis, Missouri. You've got a lot of freshmen on there. You know, talk a little about, since you've been here and then out on the recruiting trail, Kate talked about the popularity of the sport. Talk to me, how tough is it getting to go out recruiting and get the kind of players you want in here?
Recruiting's a fun battle that we're trying to get the best players to come to Indiana, and there's obviously a lot of competition, but we've had a lot of success recruiting players at Indiana. Once they show up on campus, they just love it here, and when they meet the team, they really fall in love with the program. So we have 8 new freshmen that joined our team this August and the summer, and they're off to a strong start, and they're really giving us the depth coming off the bench, and we have 2 freshmen starting right now, and they're really contributing and adding to our team.
Who are they?
We have Sierra Gerard starting as a forward. She's from New Jersey. And then we have a Pennsylvania player, Kelsey Guy, starting for us in our midfield.
Well, you cut your teeth out east. That's where you're from originally. And, well, you've been, you know, I just look in New Jersey, Davis, California, Missouri, Illinois. So you're getting in all the places, aren't you?
It's definitely our goal to get the very best out of the Midwest, but also to recruit some top players coming from Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Also looking at some top international players. So I think for us to have the variety, it makes for a really neat team culture, players from all different places of the country, of the world, and it really makes for a great team family environment.
Well, you always want to get to, and again, you're playing your best right now, but it's still early season. How much do you put into, I mean, this would be a plum, obviously. Maryland is 7th ranked nationally. You got to go out to College Park, which, by the way, I think hosts the Big Tens this year. But talk a little about how important that is, you know, this weekend.
Yeah, I think opening up with Maryland as our first Big Ten team is a great challenge for us. I think, again, they're the winners from last year, and we know if we want to win the Big Ten, we have to beat that team. So to play them on their home field is a good thing, knowing that the Big Ten tournament is going to be there later in November. And kind of scouting them, I feel really good about the strengths that we're bringing in, and I think it's going to be a battle.
Kate, talk to me a little about the Big Ten and how it's evolved since you've been, you know, seen it. And, of course, Maryland is one of the top teams. Is there a lot of parity as you see it going into the 2016 season, Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, I think that with Maryland and Rutgers joining, it brings in a greater competition for us. Not saying that there wasn't before, but it just brings in more games that we have to play. So that gives us more opportunity to be able to win those Big Ten games and most likely make the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. You know, I was going to talk to you, too, Coach, about, you know, Maddie's role and how it's evolved. I mean, she went from, as we mentioned, goal scorer last year to set up gal. And, you know, Ms. Barber's taking care of the tallies. But is that something you sat down and could see going in, something you wanted, or just become more of a versatile attack offensively?
I still think Maddie's going to score a lot of goals in the season to come. So she's still playing on the front line as a forward, and we still expect her to score a lot of goals in the future. But I think it's been a nice surprise that Kate has gotten so many goals as she's not a forward on the front line. So she's made some huge plays for us. And I think, again, the variety of the attack that we're able to get midfielders to score, and also we're waiting for our forwards to score even more goals. I think there's still a lot of good things to come. So it's a good sign of Maddie hasn't used up all her goals for the season, and we still expect her to score later in October.
No, there's not a limit on goals. Yeah, you don't put a limit on goals. I mean, you know, goals, and more goals, you know.
She's just going to be more hungry come Big Ten play.
Hungry's good, you know. We look at the balance. How do you look at the league since you've been here? Has it gotten better across the board?
Oh, yes. I think the Big Ten is one of the toughest conferences in the nation, and I think, again, looking at every team, there's some really strong competition, but we feel very confident that we're going to compete again and be one of the top 3, so we want to make sure we're off to a good start on Friday.
Well, we appreciate you dropping in and, you know, talking the sport. The crowds have been decent, I hear, out at the field hockey complex. I know I was out there and for the Big Ten tournament last year. Didn't go our way, but yet, too. It was a great experience, a showcase for the facility, the coach, and everything you've done since you've been here to enhance the atmosphere of the sport.
Thank you. I think the excitement around the team has been great. We had a really great crowd that was so loud for us on our Patriot Day and Hoosier Pride Day. We had a lot of different student athletes out there supporting the other athletes. And we hope more fans come out and watch us because, again, it's a really exciting game. And we have so many players playing well right now. We expect to win at home in our future games.
Well, the next future game after you get done with Maryland, you got to stay out in that neck of the woods and trek over to Delaware. Boy, how'd you slip in? That's a tough one, too. You got that conference game. You're concentrating on that. Then you got to go to, Delaware Mud Hens? Is that their nickname, I think? I think it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Delaware's a tough team, and I think to play back-to-back is a really...
Blue Hens.
Blue Hens, yes.
It's Mud Hens is the baseball team in Toledo.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's just a big challenge to play back-to-back, but it's something that you have to do in the NCAA tournament. So if we were to make the postseason, which is a huge goal of mine and the teams to make NCAAs, you have to play Saturday and Sunday to make the Final Four. So to prep them in a really difficult weekend like this against two opponents, both most likely in the top 20, we're just trying to prep them for the postseason.
Well, and, you know, fans just here locally now, Iowa's coming in on the 30th. Right now they're 16th ranked. Early October, 15th ranked Northwestern. Also coming in, a non-conference game in early October, 18th ranked Boston College. So a lot of high quality, and we don't expect those teams to drift, you know, off the radar, so to speak. So a lot of great quality coming your way. I'm glad I got that right, Blue Hens. You know, I knew that. I just wanted to be, you've got a great smile, Coach. But, and it even brought a smile. And Kate's always smiling. But hey, ladies, really nice talking to you tonight. Best of luck this weekend. Get the season off and winging. Keep scoring goals, Kate. Great talking to you. We'll talk to you later in the season.
Thank you.
And
thank
you
so
too,
much.
Coach. Amanda Janney and Kate Barber joining us, the All-American, as the Hoosiers go east to College Park to kick off the Big Ten for 2016 against the Maryland Terrapins. That on Saturday, and then over to the Delaware Blue Hens on Sunday to take on that 18th-ranked outfit. And we'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, welcome back as we put a close on things here tonight at Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. We got Reds baseball coming up, Milwaukee, and the Kings coming up from the Great American Ballpark. First pitch at 7:05, pregame right at the top of the hour. In the Zone, Dave and Glass tomorrow night in your calls. We were talking a little about soccer. Todd Yeagley's crew up to number 3 now in the country, and they'll be in Michigan to take on the Wolverines tomorrow night on the Big Ten Network. You can watch the game right here, and you can watch IU women's soccer the following night on Thursday. They open the Big Ten at Northwestern against the Wildcats, again on the Big Ten Network at 8 o'clock. Our high school game will go on the road with the Cougars of North. They play at Terre Haute North at 7 o'clock Chalk Talk with Scott Bless, and kickoff will be at 7:30. And then we'll have also 4th-ranked South playing at Southport, a key early season Conference Indiana game for Coach Mo and the Purple and White. Edgewood looks for its first in South Putnam on Friday night. Colts in Denver, and they will play on Sunday pregame with Bob Lamy at 3:30 coming up a little bit later. Hey, congratulations out to our Yogi's Employee of the Week, Shaylin Forney, doing a great job here at Yogi's Grill and Bar. And don't forget that Sunday buffet from 11 until 2, $9.95. Best price in the town there. So that'll about do it. Next week, we'll get back to our Olympians, hopefully two-time Olympic gold medalist, bronze medalist Cody Miller will be joined by head coach of the assistant coach of the women, head coach of Indiana University's Hoosiers, and that will be Ray Luz, part of our show next Tuesday night when we talk to you from Yogi. So for all of our sponsors tonight, don't forget Reds baseball coming up here at the top of the hour. And we thank again Spider Miller and wish him the best in all of the selection process. Looking forward to a year from now, 2017, on the North Course of the Los Angeles Country Club, as Spider once again will captain Team USA in the 46th edition of the U.S. Walker Cup. For our producers tonight, Joanna and Mike Lascott on site, Will Boatman high atop our studios, One City Center. You've been listening to the Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone. Have a great week.